I don't know, checking something out. Would have been able to gather up all her things yet. So she's probably going to she's going to talk to the two.
I see.
All right. So you're going to follow Grace outside?
Yes.
All right. So Cecile, you see Grace and then Boxer come out, and about that time,
this is a tough
Lone
one.
Star Cruiser pulls up. So as you guys are, as Boxer, as you and Grace are exiting the apartment, the safe house down to the street where the van is, a Lone Star Cruiser is pulling up next to the van. Absolutely. Yeah, they are looking at the van. They are looking at you. They are looking at the building. Their intent is not casual.
Cecile isn't going to immediately start the van and drive away, but she's pretty on edge.
They are keyed in on you.
Did they pull up right when Grace stepped outside?
Yep, they're pulling up right as Grace and Boxer are stepping outside.
Office. Grace rushes to cast a spell on herself to make herself look like a dog.
All right, there's a little fizzle and pop and a couple of little sparkly bits go flying away, and Boxer, you suddenly have a large German Shepherd companion or some similar, however Grace wants to look.
A German Shepherd, of course, clad in witchy attire, because I am certain that her practitioner's cloak and cap very much it had a pretty big impact on her silhouette. You can't really leave that out.
Does the, when you cast that spell on yourself, is there a resistance test that has to be made?
I have to make a test to see if it actually takes.
And do the people perceiving have to make a test, an opposed test, to see whether they can see through the illusion?
They would make a, is it logic? I think it's logic test to see if they resist it.
Okay.
It's willpower for mana, logic for, or no, intuition. Intuition for physical illusions. So let me go ahead and run through it. Let's say, no modifiers. What is the, sorry.
You sure it's not willpower?
Willpower, it's willpower for mana illusions. That's what it should say, anyway.
Okay.
How high does a physical illusion have to be to work against cameras and the like?
I think it has to be in... I don't know. I know invisibility has to be improved invisibility.
Well, yeah, but the actual force of the spell to beat the object resistance of cameras.
I don't know.
I'm going to cast it at
What are you casting again?
Physical mask. So I'm going to cast it at a force of 5. And there we go. That actually took. Okay. So then that's, I have to resist 2 drain. No modifiers. I mean, not 2, 3, because it's not doing the math right. And I take 1 stun.
How many hits did you get?
I got 6. So the effective force is 5.
All right, so Boxer and Cecile, why don't you roll to resist? And I believe that's resisted with willpower.
Well, that doesn't make any sense because it's a physical effect.
Oh, then what should?
Intuition, right?
Intuition.
It says, though, for illusion spells, for mana and physical illusions. Okay, yes.
I just realized intuition, that I was
needed. Intuition and counterspelling if you have it.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, so both of you see a German Shepherd.
But,
okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, oops. And I think neither of our patrolmen rolling up actually have any chance of seeing through this illusion, so.
Also, all cameras, right, and other electronic sensors are 4. So that also, if they sweep a camera over her, it won't reveal what she is.
Yeah, the patrol car probably has cameras. They probably have body cams, but none of them are picking up on the illusion. So that was Grace's action. What's Boxer doing?
She's going to examine in detail the 2 officers to see if she knows them.
She does. They are colleagues of Vicente. And as your eyes meet, they recognize you and they smile.
Don't worry, I know these 2. She says aside to the to Nightingale and Cecile.
Cecile's in the van.
Oh.
Nervously playing with the ignition. All right, Cecile, what are you up to? It looks, you see them smiling in a rather relaxed manner. You could probably do another. Well, you already did a perception test. They do not seem to be, actually, roll intentions, judge intentions, since we're at it.
Mm-hmm.
While she's doing that, can I sense them?
Sure. You know,
just like seeing them.
Isn't she always a sensing?
I know, but I'm asking if I can make a sensing check.
Do it.
No modifiers.
Judge intentions?
2.
2.
So they are mundane. Sort of your run-of-the-mill human beat cops.
I don't recognize either of them.
You don't recognize either of them, no.
Okay.
Cecile goes ahead and starts at the van.
I assume they're just like, they were doing their job, but then they got a little bit happier whenever they saw Boxer.
Yeah, they're pretty calm, relaxed. There's no, you see no anger or fear. There may be the slightest hint of nervousness or anxiety, but generally they are pretty confident.
Nightingale stays by Boxer's side. Sorry. So Veronica should roll judge intentions now.
Mm-hmm. All right. So judge intentions. You see the guys, the patrolman in the patrol car, smile at Boxer in a friendly manner, and you get the sense that they are not here on official business, but rather to as friends of Boxer's. Okay. They stop the patrol car at the side of the van and get out, and they greet Boxer. Hoi, chummer. Here you've run into a spot of trouble here.
Indeed. The media is misrepresenting some important facts.
Yeah. When aren't they? Anyways, we got your stuff here that Vicente told us to get, and he opens the trunk of the cruiser and hefts out a couple of duffel bags. Actually, no, he says, we got your stuff here. It's heavy. You might want to grab it yourself.
Yeah, I've got it. Thank you for bringing this. I get the feeling I'm going to need it.
Yeah, well, we've quashed the APB down at the station in Auburn for now. So if you, if I were you, I would just let some time pass over this, and media will stop looking. And as far as we can tell, there's nobody officially looking for you specifically.
That's fortunate.
Coming with us?
Yeah, it is.
I'd hate to be imprisoned for someone who's alive. She's in the car.
He looks over at Cecile.
And, yeah. You see my problem?
He startles a little bit. He's like, oh, frag. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're in something deep, Boxer.
Indeed I am.
Well, we're way out of our jurisdiction here, so you take care of yourself, and we're gonna head back to the station. So
we'll do. Until we've done.
Just get in before I Thank drive you. Away without either
Stay
of
safe,
you.
Boxer. He gives you
Stay
the
safe, you too.
Nod and the sort of salute, and they get back in the car, and it pulls away.
Based to have connections, and she hefts one of the duffel bags. You distinctly hear metal clinking inside of it. Guns. We will need both.
How good is the automatic driving on these vans?
I'm as ready as I'll be. I can change in the back of the van.
Is it good enough for Cecile to do something else?
Yes.
While driving?
Your friend apparently knows
how long do we have
interesting
to
people
meet, how long to get there?
And
about
well,
45 to an hour.
If
right?
they can fix this beyond what I was intending to do, which was to disappear, I would greatly appreciate it. And you,
okay,
you might be able to get something out of this as well.
Gala, the doors.
Can I continue searching for
like
stuff
link
about
for a second?
Prop up skillful.
So polite.
Okay. Do I continue
really
from where I left
girl.
Off, or do I make an
Let's
entirely
go.
New role?
Nightingale's gonna get in the back, clamber up, open the door, clamber up, and then close it.
With the added information that she got from
I think Boxer got in the back too, right?
You know, searching more for mm-hmm. the 2050s kind of
She'll hold it
time frame.
Boxer. She
she wants to search Simple for man. Anything she can find about Prokop Skillful, things that they've done, descriptions,
oh, it's
that kind of thing. Like anything that she can use to get a better idea of who this is and what they're like.
Yes.
And potentially if she
Absolutely.
Can find
can
it anything that
totally
would be like
nap while you
how do I say?
It's like about 45 to an hour to get there, to probably with the dog brain, it's probably closer to the hour, and you probably have about
I'm going
to
spend
2 hours
about...
left, which means that
I'm going to split it half and half in
on her
searching
second or
and,
third cup of soy calf.
Searching and sifting through the data, so 30 minutes of searching? Does that seem fair to you, Paul?
Yep.
Okay, so that's 210. I think I'm going to find something. Hey, I found something.
Are you... Okay.
If she isn't VR, she's not paying attention to either of you.
Sure. Okay. are Grace and Boxer, what are you doing while Cecile is out? Cecile has sort of gone full VR or a yeah, VR. While the vehicle drives. Yeah. So you guys are basically on your own at the moment.
Nightingale clambers and well not even clambers, she like falls into her quote unquote pillow throne, which is actually a beanbag. And she looks physically worse for wear, even though nothing's happened. Her eyes just look a little bit more tired, and her ears are a lot more droopy than usual. She's thinking about what all she's going to have to do in the next little bit. She might tell Cecile to tell the car not to go, or well, actually, she'd probably just tell the car straight up to change the course and park some distance away from the location instead of going directly to it.
Okay.
Just because that's a good idea. And she's just going to sit there. If Boxer doesn't start talking to her, she might end up just going astral and riding on top of the car and watching as they go.
She probably wouldn't be talking to her. She'd be getting her equipment ready.
Yeah.
She'd probably appreciate the fact that nobody can watch. Yeah.
What is Boxer doing then?
Boxer is kitting out. Let me see my kit so I can out. Let's see here. She'd probably be slipping her vest on. She probably didn't have it on. Didn't think she'd need it. Hello?
Yep, so she's basically putting on her armor and
And let's see what weapon she'd want. She'd slip her taser. Taser into concealed holster. And no, she just, how restricted are tasers? Are they even restricted? I remember them being pretty loosely regulated.
No, they're not restricted. Most people run around with guns, so.
So she'd have an open carry taser. She'd have, what's the conceal modifier on this? Guess I didn't write that down, huh? Oh well. She'd have the Browning Ultra Power. Also, do I have a concealed? Oh, I only have Quick Draw. She'd have that on a waist holster, undershirt. And she'd keep the rest of the weapons stowed aside from the HK submachine gun, which she keeps out, but not on her person.
Okay.
Erica. She also slips a smoke grenade into, into a pocket.
Good idea. All right, so Cecile, you spent a good bit of time searching through all sorts of archives and things, going all the way back through stuff that existed pre-Crash 2.0. And actually, since some of these events that you're looking for happened before Crash 2.0, you can definitely tell that some of this stuff is just plain old lost. But there was a very prominent incident at this time in Seattle that relates to the formation of the company.
You say Mitsuhama. Are you sure you don't mean Yamatetsu?
Previously known
as Mitsuhama. Okay, so they did some work back then.
And
Okay.
Yeah, there were some pretty bloody internecine struggles for control of the company.
Majority of what I can get in 30 minutes.
And people died. Shadowrunners were set up. And Prokop Skillful's name comes up in some of that history, not, you know, official history or anything like that, but some of the more shadowy archives that you encounter on the Matrix sort of put him there, and also his reputation through most of the late 50s and some of the early 60s was someone that one wouldn't have done business with because of some of those things that happened when Mitsuhama basically became Evo.
Interesting.
Yamatetsu, sorry. I do mean Yamatetsu.
Have I determined whether or not Skillful is his real name? Damn it.
Yep. That's the deeper stuff that you really had to dig for.
I see. Good to know.
The other thing is that
I'm
the fixer known as Prokop Skillful.
I'm just going to quickly roll a d6. And
is
I'm not
associated
say why.
With a jazz club. In Auburn,
okay.
Proper. So it is a club with a reputation for being an insider's club that
all right. And
you know,
now we have
real
arrived.
Jazz aficionados are aware of. And also
I'll also go ahead and just save all of that data to my comlink.
And if you can get in there, that is how you are able to get in touch with this Prokop character. That's where he holds court. No. There is... That's the only handle that he's known by. That's... I mean, there's no other... That's either his real name, or that's literally been his handle so long that that's all anybody knows him by anymore. Or it's completely made up. It's either that, or it's like Kaiser Soze.
Right. That's reassuring. What's...
Yeah, so... Yep, absolutely. You guys are pulling up somewhere not directly at Fred's, if I remember what Grace was telling me. So...
Yeah. The car would pull up on and park on one of the roads, like the actual, like, you know, roads that's kind of busy. Once they start getting towards their destination, Nightingale may go back in her body just to check. She's going to go and scout out the Fred's before they actually, you know, proceed. She'd probably tell them to wait for her to tell them when they can go.
Well, you can pretty much instantaneously fly over there, zip over there. So as the car is pulling to a stop, some ways ahead of Fred's, and you see the new stuffer shack that was built opposite of him. You fly ahead in the Astral. You see all of the usual Earth type stuff that you're used to seeing in the city, people moving around with all of their emotions sort of flaring as they, you know, these mundanes don't really have any control over the how it appears in the Astral. But and as you get to Fred's, you see Fred behind the counter, a couple of customers in the store browsing or buying things, and Fred's daughter Itra in the back storeroom. Looks like she's maybe studying schoolwork or something like that.
Are there any awakened sorts like near Fred's, perhaps even passing by or across the street, immediately across the street?
No. Dandere, you're not awakened, right?
I'm incredibly mundane, if that's what you're asking.
That is what I'm asking. So yeah, you look across the street at the stuffer shack of alternate universe infamy, and it's busy with clientele who are probably not from the area. I mean, the people from the area have made it a point to be loyal to Fred's.
Is there anyone like in the back rooms of Fred's?
Just Itra.
Just Itra.
And we have not done the thing with them yet. Pretty sure we're gonna apply it as canon and post haste.
Repeat?
Post after whatever, retroactively.
Yeah, that would actually make sense. I think that would be having that relationship established would be nice.
Cecile gets
it. We do want to know what happened to our tour.
Cecile has also started walking towards the...
We can figure that out later. That'd
be a treat for later.
All right, okay. So yeah.
But she's going to go back to the car. And tell them that they can go, but she's not going to be going with them physically.
I assume you're going to do some sort of magic stuff.
Check your microphone.
Exactly.
Will this be physically visible?
Yes. So what you're going to have to do for me is that you're going to have to get the people we're going to be talking to somewhere more private. It doesn't matter about cameras. Cameras won't be able to pick it up. I'll only be there in for the eyes of metahumans, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's well.
I imagine Cecile knows what Nightingale's talking about.
Is Cecile going in?
She said that she's not going to be physically there. Cameras don't matter. She's only going to be there for the eyes of metahumans.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah.
All right, imagine Boxer's following.
Yes, though she'd be doing her best to obscure her rather distinct features, even going so far as to stuff her tail in an undignified way down her pants leg.
Remute yourself on the...
Sorry.
On
Did
roll
you get
20.
What I said?
Yeah. All right, so you guys arrived a little bit early, it's starting to, or it is already dark, so you're walking across the street under the street lights, and you get to the parking lot in front of Fred's convenience store. Are you going in?
Yes, just a moment.
Deandir, are you still over at the Stuffer Shack watching Fred's?
I think as soon as, 10 minutes before she's going to walk into the Stuffer Shack, she's just going to walk, get up off her bike, lock her bike, walk across the street, and walk into Fred's.
Okay.
Oh god, I thought I turned off my mic. Oh,
that's what that was.
Oh, that makes sense.
But I think Dendre...
Cecile does not walk in the front door.
And like
Cecile is going to immediately cast levitate on herself at
like,
force one.
Hey, Fred, I thought you had the worst direct on the set of Auburn, but
she is going
you guys
to
got something worse.
Do this.
He doesn't.
She's going to go up on the roof.
Doesn't seem to know whether to be offended or pleased. And he says, "Well, okay, that's. I can make you a new pot. I don't know why you would even go over there."
Oh, a friend of mine said something about meeting here, and I always like to watch the place before I go in, just to make sure. It's not that I don't trust you. That's just a personal policy.
He looks suddenly a little nervously and glances around and
does Fred see it, though?
You're not going to make any trouble here, are you?
No, not this time.
Not this time? That's not very reassuring.
What, you expect me to know what I'm going to do next time?
Well, I get your point. Okay. So, at this point, I guess Cecile and... All right, Deandir, make a perception check.
I'm sometimes good at that. No modifiers, right?
No modifiers. Zero. Zero hits. Well, can't get any worse then. Yeah, you're in there talking to Fred and... No, Fred's got his back towards you. He's facing Deandir. So Deandir would have, if Deandre had seen it, she would have seen it over Fred's shoulder.
And Cecile, and wild Boxer, time away, Boxer, are you going entering back the store? That data she saved.
I guess Valerie's distracted.
I'm back. I had to get off the mic. I've been having to do that a lot. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh. As you were approaching Fred's, Cecile suddenly levitated up onto the roof of the store.
Are you in? God, fucking inches. She looks to her side. Where is Nightingale there?
No. There's no physical sign of Nightingale.
I'm gonna assume you're there and say don't mean you. Just the annoying mages. Look, you get it. So anyway, can you even? I'm talking to myself, aren't I? Mages.
Yeah. There's not a lot of time here. Boxer, you're about to walk into the store, right?
Mm-hmm. Guess I'm doing the Silt's fashioned way. Let's see. What have you got, Boxer? What fancy smancy stuff have you got to actually make this not dangerous?
God, you guys are paranoid.
I wanna summon a spirit. I wanna step away for a moment, away from Fred's, summon a spirit. Specifically, let's say a force one guidance spirit to watch over my body and tell me if anyone strange comes around.
Okay.
So let me review what exactly you have to do to summon a spirit, because I forget.
While she's doing that, I'm going to tell my stupid little joke. So, like, the second Boxer walks into Fred's, Deandre is telling this joke. She goes, "So, Fred, have you heard this one before? A dog, a spell worm, and a gnorm walk into a stuffer shack."
No.
I want to make it clear that Cecile, for no apparent reason, starts
to
spell
worm the way around with the dwarf.
That one just doesn't hit right. So the spellworm says, "I'll just take a Nutribar." The gnorm says, "I'll have a soy calf and a Nutribar." And then the dog says, "I'll have a beer."
Fred looks puzzled.
Come on, Fred. That one was funny.
But doesn't... Well, never mind.
Okay. It works right. Better.
I didn't get it either.
I didn't get it. I personally...
He was making a reference.
It works much better in spirit, though. Because the whole joke rhymes. And beer is the only word that rhymes with dog.
I see. He looks a little hesitant. All right. So at that point, Boxer walks in, right?
Yeah. She's walking in. She's eyeing everything nervously.
Yeah, so the Fred's is
not nervously, warily.
Fred's is pretty chill, looks the way it usually does when you're doing your shift here. Fred's behind the counter, and you see an elven woman at the counter talking to him. Make a memory check.
Mm-hmm.
Memory.
Correct.
One.
Yeah, you, you're pretty sure you've seen this woman before in the Stuffer Shack. Maybe when you were working here a couple of days ago. And at this point, Deandre, you see Boxer come in, and I guess you make a memory check.
Well, looks like we have about the same memory.
Yeah, you sort of recognize the woman who just walked in. You think you've seen her before, maybe even in here? And Grace, at this point, how's your going with your spirit?
I'm thinking, whenever it says versus the spirit's force, do you roll it as though it's an attribute? Or do you just take that? Okay, cool. So that means I have a good chance of actually making it come. Yeah, there we go. She has summoned it, and it owes her one service. And she's going to tell it to go and watch over her van and her body. If any strange people come, it should immediately go to her in the in Fred's
those, like flying swirling motions that people sometimes do when they're flying.
It's a, I think it's a guidance spirit. Hold on, mainly. Yeah, it's a guidance spirit. And I'm going to tell it to watch over my van and body. And if it sees any strange people with malintent moving towards the van, or especially trying to get into the van, it should come and warn me so that I can go back to my body and handle it.
Okay. You get the sense that it has understood and acquiesced to your request, and it departs for the van.
I thank it, and then I go back to Fred's to watch what's going on.
Inside of Fred's store, you see that you see Fred, you see Boxer, and you see another woman, an elven woman, talking to Fred, and you perceive Cecile on top of the stuff, or on top of Fred's store on the roof. All right, so what's happening inside of Fred's between Deandre and Boxer?
She completely ignores Deandre because she's just like some vague person, while and approaches Fred. Yeah, Fred, I know I'm not on shift today, just suppose I have someone to meet in here. Have you seen anyone by chance? I don't want to have missed them, or really anything interesting while you're at it.
Oh, hey, Boxer. No, haven't seen or heard anything different. He looks at Deandre. He said, what's your name again?
It's Kian.
Kian?
Seal leans over and says,
Kian here was telling me a joke that I didn't understand.
Still floating.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. What's the joke?
So, a dog, a spell worm, and a gnorm walk into a stuffer shack. The spell worm asks for a Nutribullet.
You didn't see me up here, so clearly I'm better at this.
The spell worm asks for a Nutribar. The gnorm asks for a Nutribar and a soy calf, and the dog asks for a beer.
Yeah, sure.
And?
What do you mean,
Are we meeting the person here?
Well, what else? Where's the joke?
Right, of
that
course.
That was the joke.
Let me guess, we're going to a jazz Intriguing. Bar?
It's much better in spirit, though.
All right, outside, Cecile and...
our plus one?
Not so much Grace, but mostly Cecile. You see a vehicle pull up, a Nissan Jackrabbit. Looks like a grid guide cab pulls up to the front of the store. Fine. And
so Cecile Kirsten floats down and like slinks through the door, but from the top.
Kirsten jumps a little bit and looks up at you and goes, "Ah, what the frag, Cecile? Lay low, not float high." "Yeah, I'm not a mage. Any other mage comes around, they're going to see you up there, no problem. Come on, get your dumb butt down here." "No, of course we're not meeting them here. This is just where..." "Yeah, well, maybe. This is just where we're meeting the, we're meeting our plus one." "Yeah, there's a new addition to the group. Somebody that, that we've been keeping our eye, that he's been keeping his eye on." And so, Grace, you're observing all of this happening.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go update the parameters for the spirit if I can do that. I feel like I'm telling it, "Hey, well, actually, telling it to send me a message is something I can just do, right? Like, it doesn't have to know specifically where I am, right?"
"Yeah."
"Okay. I hope that doesn't go out of a range of 100 meters."
All right, so Cecile walks in, Kirsten walks in, and Boxer and Deandir are standing at the counter talking to Fred, and Kirsten walks in and looks over at Deandir and says, "Are you Deandir?" Oops, we lost somebody.
It was me. I got disconnected for the last second. What happened?
Cecile and Kirsten come into the into Fred's, and Kirsten. So Deandir sees two young women come in. One of them almost looks like she floated in, and the other young woman looks over at you and seems to recognize you, and she says, "Are you Deandir?"
"Is asking."
"My name's Kirsten. Prokop sent me."
"Well, is this it? Usually don't send three of us on a job. Unless you're the fourth." I like Deandir looks directly at Kirsten.
Kirsten looks, "No, I'm not the fourth. We're missing somebody still."
"My other associate. Preferred to attend in unconventional means. Hello, Nightingale."
So, Grace, are you still outside?
She's observing them in the astral. She would not manifest because they would be in a public space. And I'm pretty sure manifestation is just like anyone that would be able to sense you if you were like physically there. You can't choose particular parties to sense you. Or am I right in that?
Yeah, no, if you manifest physically, everybody can see you.
Yeah. So it's not materialization. Manifestation is specifically a psychic effect where you're able to give sensory data and congruence with, like,
I'm
you
just
being
here
there
to
physically,
talk to somebody.
That's it.
Something.
Yeah, so Kirsten looks around, she says, looks at Boxer, says, where is she?
Okay.
She's
like,
here.
Judge intentions, or?
Astrally, if you understand.
I'm not sure how that's going to work.
She will attend properly when she feels safe. As you might understand, given present circumstances, she does not. Indeed, she feels rather disturbed, and I'm inclined to agree with her rationale in that regard.
Well, Deandir, this is Boxer, and she looks at Cecile and she says, well, Cecile doesn't have a handle yet, so we're going to call her Cecile.
Dangerous game. I'm going to roll an intuition check.
Cecile is here for the ride. She's not a professional, but she is someone who must be taken care of.
I'm going to roll an intuition check for myself, just in case. No. Did that come up? Did that come up? I think I pressed the button. I guess it didn't. Never mind. I'm being stupid. Oh, there we go. One.
For no reason?
For no reason.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm Kirsten. Some people call me K-Girl. And I'm really just here to facilitate a meeting between you guys. Fixer, who I've not necessarily, I wouldn't say worked with, he's to some extent been a mentor of mine, has requested that I put you in touch with each other and introduce you to him or him to you. He's looking for a new, fresh team for the Seattle scene, and he wants to meet you all physically. She looks at Boxer. He wants to meet you all physically at the club.
I wanted to ask, I'm not sure you can actually hear audio when you're astrally projecting.
Well, I've come this far. Let me move my bike. Fred, I'm going to park my bike out front. It's hard to see most of the time, but if someone tries to mess with it, they'll get a big jolt. So just, like, keep an eye on it.
He looks at Boxer. Yeah, okay. Friend
I
of
approve.
Boxer's.
I see Boxer is easy to please.
Bikes. Bikes are so underrated, girl.
Okay. Cecile?
I toured a long way on that bike. An old girl.
Cecile's gonna ask. Okay, so Kirsten, we're gonna go to what was the name of the jazz club?
As
that you
tempted
said
as I am
frequent?
To go into literally every detail.
Well,
it
well,
seems
right,
we have a job
reason.
To do. So, meeting place.
Or did you not say the name
of
the jazz club?
Yes, meeting places, Kirsten. But how? We need to get Grace on board for this.
No, I'm just asking, like. Paul, did you mention the name of
How
the club, or did
that?
You just say, oh, hey, he goes to an elite club? Okay.
Yeah, no, I can't hear them talking right now. I'm just
well,
watching
Cecile
the
goes ahead
draws.
And gets in the...
Yep,
in
you're
the,
just getting sort of...
Maybe she can read mouths.
You can read
what?
Silhouettes.
I feel
they
like that
went
really
talking
work.
And passing some information.
Did you not have a ride
well
over
with
here?
Joy. The mention of motorcycles.
Yep. There seems to be some common connection between everybody.
I'm so waiting for them to go somewhere that isn't
the van
is public.
The driver's seat.
Which
they
is literally
be,
what I
they
said.
They seem to be waiting for something too. At least Kirsten is. I haven't said anything about that yet. We're just going to the club.
I believe she means we're going to the club as a group, so we should all pile into the car.
What? No one's here.
Yeah, no, I didn't mention the name of it.
It's... What?
The vehicle's gone at this point.
Yeah.
The grid guide that Kirsten came in and is gone. I figured you guys had the ride.
What are they going to do? Record it? Well, because they haven't seen someone float before?
We have alternative methods of transport, and while I would love to check out your ride,
so
it's probably best for me not to be able to see on a car bike and to not vandalize myself.
The hypothetical bystander would care about this because
Nightingale immediately returns to her body, and whenever Cecile climbs in, Nightingale's half into the front
because
seat.
If somebody was following us.
Yeah, she immediately starts. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? That's so obvious. Everyone saw you doing that. You just floated over to the car.
I think the face would be enough.
In the middle of town? Yes, they are. Okay, wait. Did I misunderstand? She said she levitated to the car, right?
She did say that, yep.
Do you understand that magic is kind of a big deal, right? You know that, right? I would hope you know that. It just... And you entered the vehicle that we're going to be going. It's not exactly subtle. I'm not just thinking about bystanders. You are a wanted woman with a particular face who is a magician.
We're going to a club.
Nightingale just harumps and slumps back into the back and goes back to her pillow throne.
Fixer.
So are we all going to the van? And Dinder looks just directly at Boxer.
I am going in the van. You can bring your motorcycle, but after the last incident, I don't suppose I can recommend that.
Suit yourself. Kirsten, you need a ride?
I wish I had that choice.
He just wants to ride with you. Motorcycle.
I imagine you didn't bring a helmet with you. Don't worry, I got an extra one.
All right.
Boxer looks after them longingly and trundles off to the car, the van.
Nightingale is going to peek back up. Before Boxer gets in, she's going to ask, "Wait, what's exactly happening?"
We are going to meet up with Fixer, Mr. Johnson, our Fixer this time. We are going to meet up with a mysterious Fixer at
the guy that said he could help us.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Kirsten, what you see, Grace, is that Kirsten didn't come back with them.
Why isn't Kirsten with us? I saw her.
She's going with a new friend. I'm sure you saw her. She would have
possibly get attacked on the way.
Oh, stop.
She didn't really look interesting. She looked kind of dull, honestly.
What makes people look... you know what? It probably blew my mind.
Well, I tend to find people that are really, like... People and animals who have really small worlds are dull. Like, if they're just kind of... And she motions at her head with a hoof.
In the head? Oh, God. I must look pretty tiny then. Anyhow. We should be getting directions from Kirsten.
She still wasn't walking in at all.
Kirsten has dropped you a pin of her location. And
we're just following Kirsten.
She's all gotten right on the back of the motorcycle with Deandir. And that's probably where we're going to call it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time we get together, we will meet, maybe, the mysterious Mr. Prokop. Mm-hmm. And possibly.
Don't give him ideas.
Engage in combat. Who knows? More vehicular combat.
It also was not there.
Not more vehicular combat.
I'm going to cut it short this time. I am going to blow them the hell up.
Oh, honey!
I have to use my gun for the first time.
It was a rather anticlimactic meeting between Deandir and the rest of the team, in my opinion.
She's running the Shadowrun equivalent of a Nokia.
Okay, so that joke would have been a lot funnier if the three of you had walked in.
Oh, like even worse.
Deandir had started saying it.
Mm.
Yeah, it was just like, come on, that was a missed opportunity.
I still didn't get it.
A spellworm is a derogatory term for mage. A norm is a human.
Is her, and norm and... is Cecile.
No,
the norm is Cecile. Boxer the dog is Boxer. Oh. Huh.
Because at that point, Nightingale was disguised as a dog, right? With a physical mask. Yeah.
I never understood why they put internet Cecile access on them, to be honest.
Hmm.
Revolutionary.
Actually, wouldn't it be a rather old joke since she sang it?
All of her things are old.
All of her things are old. Well, God, yeah, she's ancient.
I mean, they put an RJ45 on them.
Old lady. Oh my God.
She has a BlackBerry.
Oh, that would make sense.
It was cutting edge once upon a time.
Calendar.
Nightingale. I'm sorry. It's not that kind of BlackBerry. It's the standard kind.
Any thoughts,
made of wires and metal and sadness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was that? The palm. Before cell phones, even practically, there was the palm.
Well,
what?
The Palm PDA, Personal Digital Assistant. All right, so probably before Wi-Fi really was effective and efficient.
So you
could transfer files and stuff.
Why would Cecile share information she could sell to them?
You know, your spreadsheet, your...
No, she's not going to sell it to them.
Your contact list.
She's just going to keep it from them so she has more power in case anything happens.
I enjoyed it.
Okay, I want to come clean.
It's unfortunate
when,
that the party
when I was rolling that d6, I was trying to decide
up, so
whether
it,
Cecile's first words,
cat
to Prokop
for you, it probably
would be,
might have been a little bit boring
like
since
jazz?
You didn't have all that much input into it.
Oh no, it
was four. Oh. So I was like, this doesn't
you're
tell me
breaking
much.
Up, and you're still breaking up.
I'm still breaking up.
It's a slight yes.
Yep.
Okay, but I'm listening to you guys the time.
You only get so many opportunities.
That's good. Suck to be stuck listening to something you don't find enjoyable.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you guys got some interesting information, or at least to
see. Oh, that was
it.
Also my
she hasn't
plan.
Shared it with the
but
group.
But come
yet.
On, if
Cecile
I,
doesn't
if
share.
If I have that be what Cecile asks, it gets to be the episode title.
Wow, damn.
She's quite the mercenary, isn't she?
She's more mercenary than the actual mercenary. Right, the power of knowing that they like jazz. No.
What did zero mean?
Maybe slightly. It really depends on how much you decide Nightingale knows about the corrupt.
Is four a yes or a no?
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess if you really wanted to unsettle him, you could potentially ask about Yamatetsu. Yeah.
You like jazz?
I will cry. I will cry if you ask that.
Especially if you're standing in a jazz club.
That would be so much worse.
Nah,
also, the,
I hate
the
this
little,
crap.
The little bit of deduction I did earlier, that wasn't like too much, right? That wasn't out of character. I feel like I may have broken character a little bit there about the media and stuff, but I don't know. She's been here for a year, and also Equestria isn't.
It depends on whether or not there's a gate.
Incredibly different. There's
con. It's a smart cookie.
I didn't think it was. I didn't feel like it was too meta. I thought it was appropriate.
Okay.
I thought it was smart.
Seems like the kind of thing that Nightingale would do.
She has a high
and freak out about.
She's going to be somewhat paranoid because she
know.
Is.
There's a
as
gate to the elven world, and
there,
I was under the impression that you were kind of basing your character off of the elves and how they work in the Shadowrun lore. Well, the elves, not the elves.
Yeah.
You understand.
She,
yeah.
Depending on how things shake out, if she realizes that there's like a huge. If there ends up being like a plot against her and she learns about that, she might decide that she needs to go back home.
Yeah.
Which I suppose we'd have to figure out where exactly, how exactly one moves between Equestria and the Sixth World. I imagine it will be an undertaking, though.
Something like a spirit quest.
Maybe they've been confused for reindeer.
A perpendicularity. Sorry, I just
that's a weird that looking caribou.
What is a gate, and what would determine if the plane has a gate to the Sixth World, or would it just not?
They have pronouns now.
She's talking about the Fae.
Yeah.
The fair folk.
Yeah, so there are gates. And so you must come through something similar.
Okay. There's a gate. So the question is, where is the gate? I was actually thinking it might be somewhere in the Arctic. Like the Canadian Arctic.
I'm a little disappointed in my own performance, but...
Okay.
Maybe I'll even on an island to make it especially hard.
Yeah, maybe that's what they used as cover when they came in.
Funny look at that caribou.
Herd of really small caribou.
They? Oh no. Oh no! They gender?
They slash them.
Oh no!
I would like... we can talk about it, Liz. There's a spell.
Oh, those were my thoughts. Did you guys have anything else?
There's a spell. Yes.
Too much roleplay? Not enough...
I love roleplay.
Not enough moving forward of the story?
Roleplay is great.
I think that was great. I liked it.
How come?
Yeah, that's actually a good question.
I was definitely hoping things would progress a little bit faster, but...
We might have to develop them all with Arcana.
Because most of it was just me, you know, sitting on my laurels and waiting.
Yeah. Well, hopefully as we get, you know, after you meet...
I mean, it'd be similar, but there's...
After you meet Fixer, you get a job.
The hermetic...
The roles for the... Various
yeah, that's true. She could always convert a hermetic spell into
I'm also thinking Nightingale should probably find out some way to be able to take on a metahuman form. That would probably really help.
Metahumanization?
Yeah. Shut that up. We can talk about it.
There's various magic spell. For this.
Is it critter form? Now I'm just going to have to sit in my magic laboratory and spend a few weeks trying to hack it together so that it will allow me to be a human.
To be like, I mean, think about the possibilities. Boxer, what if you find another of your
horrified fascination?
I imagine hermetics. The hermetic take on magic is uniquely intuitive to Nightingale because it's about systems, you know. There's of course G26. Huge differences. We're talking about like a rascal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm imagining she could
I'm pretty sure
rules is written. You can convert any
would
spell
probably
from
remember
one tradition to another.
The current gen.
Yeah.
So it would just be that she has to translate every spell, unless somehow Equestrian Arcana ends up in the sixth world.
Is old.
I guess we could shorthand it like that.
Maybe she is Cecile's grandmother.
If you have the coin.
Equestrian has wares if you have the coin.
I don't know about you guys, but Deandre probably remembers this old trid from like the 20s that's just like this.
Oh no.
She remembers the knife generation. It's long dead and gone because Evo fucking ate Hasbro's corpse, but she remembers.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, no. Wait. Are you sure she wouldn't remember? When was the crash?
Dindar is 62. She was born in 2011.
Old lady.
She's old enough to be your grandmother.
Literally. Actually, she's not old enough to be Nightingale's grandma because Nightingale is 40.
Wow, we got some whippersnappers here.
Her canonical age is 40, but she thinks of herself as being a young person, and she doesn't really. She probably isn't even quite aware that that is actually how old she is, because years are different.
Well, Deandre's been 30 for the last 32 years, so. Back off.
Boxer is 27. She feels 27.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sounds, audio, video, and/or any proprietary material used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to the Hard Knock Sorority podcast to use such names, logos, artwork, marks, and/or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with the Hard Knock Sorority podcast in any official capacity whatsoever. The music for the Hard Knock Sorority podcast was written and performed by Trace Mineral. The Hard Knock Sorority podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons License 4.0, meaning you are welcome to use the material as long as you give us credit.